It's really interesting, the topic for today. Really grateful you're here tonight, this morning, rather, and thank you for being here. I was chosen, given the opportunity to be your guide in this lesson this morning, and I hope we can learn together. That's my responsibility, and I hope we can be encouraged together by the Word of God, and especially by what God has to say concerning these topics that we are covering this summer series here in Sunday mornings is heart diseases and their cure. And I think it's a very pertinent topic in general. And the subtopics are also very important and very relevant. And this morning we're talking about the topic of overcoming prejudice. And of all people, I was the one who was assigned to talk about the topic of prejudice. And I think that I am a member of a minority group here in the United States, I can give you another perspective. I'm not going to give you another teaching because the Bible is the truth, but I'm going to give you another perspective from a member of a minority group, how we see prejudice. Before we start, let me just define what prejudice is and some of the words relative to prejudice. Prejudice has to do with feelings, the way you feel. And there's three steps to this. First is prejudice, which are negative feelings towards a person based on the membership of certain group to which they belong. It's prejudice, this feeling, or an irrational suspicion or hatred towards a particular group. That's what prejudice is. It starts with the feeling. Okay? Now, from this comes stereotypes also, which goes a step forward. Is they're not only feelings, stereotypes are thoughts. It's the way you think about certain groups. So a stereotype is a belief or an assumption that associates a certain group or members of a group to have certain traits. For example, when we say all black men are violent, that's stereotyping. Okay? All Mexicans are liars. That's stereotyping. Okay? That's what stereotypes is. It's a thought, okay? Or all Asians are bad drivers. It's another stereotype. It's a thought, the way we think. Okay, so prejudice are feelings, stereotypes are thoughts, and then from those come discrimination or racism. And this is action. It's not only thoughts, not only feelings, but now I'm acting upon those thoughts, upon those feelings. That's discrimination. So discrimination is a negative behavior towards a person based on the membership of a certain group. That's what discrimination is, or racism. So when we talk about prejudice, I know prejudice is not the same as racism, and it's not the same as stereotyping, but we can put them in the same category. They are categorizing and taking maybe thoughts or actions against members of certain groups. And that's more or less what in a general sense, what it means. But I'm going to focus this class and the time we have on two aspects of prejudice. First, I'm going to talk about prejudice against the truth, which is something that happens today. And then I'm going to talk about prejudice against people. I intend to spend more time on prejudice against people, since that is something that we all struggle with, especially in this country. But I'm going to briefly mention some aspects concerning prejudice against the truth, which I believe are very important. But prejudice is having a closed mind. It's closed-mindedness. It's making a decision before we look at the facts. That's what prejudice is. Prejudice is condemning before investigating. I made my mind. I'm condemning. I arrived to a verdict, but I haven't looked at the facts. That's what prejudice is. And we have an example here that there was a judge, and he would tell the story to his family. How during court sessions, he got angry sometimes because people were being loud, and he said, "Folks, we're going to have to be quiet here in the room because I have convicted already 5 men without even hearing a word of testimony." So that's prejudice, condemning without hearing the testimony. That's what it is. So when we talk about prejudice concerning the truth, just give you a warning. Sometimes this topic can be hard to address because there's a history of discrimination in different nations, and especially here. And then sometimes people feel nervous because think we're going to blame what happened on them. And sometimes that topic becomes uneasy. And then for minority groups, and I'm talking about my case, it's hard for me to speak about this topic because we expose ourselves to be told that we are paranoid, that we have our feelings on our, wear our feelings on our sleeves or whatever it said, fear our sleeves on our feelings or something like that. Okay? You know what I'm saying. Okay? So it's a both ways. It's an uneasy, but we're gonna go to the scriptures and that's what it's gonna tell us what we need to do concerning this topic. So now concerning prejudice towards the truth. Do you remember the story of Galileo Galilei? And he was tried for heresy. He was a heretic, he was lying. What was his lie? Well, he said, I looked at the telescope and I see the earth revolves around its axis. The earth turns around. And Catholic Church said, no, it doesn't turn around. Say, okay, go ahead and look in my telescope. Say, no, we won't. We're just going to condemn you. Because that's heresy. So that is prejudice based from history. Okay? So that's an example. If we remember in the Bible, notice it's in Matthew 13 and verse 15. I'm going to try to read as much as I can these verses and try to go as quickly as I can because of time. So a lot to talk about. But Matthew 13 and verse 15, we see here how the Lord is applying the scripture to the Pharisees. He says, for the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should be, they understand with their hearts and turn so that I might heal them. So we see here that there is this prejudice against the truth. From they don't want to hear, they don't want to see, so the Lord have allowed them to have a hard heart, so they will not be able to even understand a parable. You see, parables were to make it easier on the hearer, if you had a soft heart. But because of their prejudice, something as simple as the parable of the sower, that I believe a lot of children can understand, it was so difficult for them to understand because of their hard heart and the prejudice against the truth. So we know that Jesus Christ was crucified because of prejudice. They didn't want to look at the facts. They didn't want to listen to what he did or did not do correctly, so they just crucify him. Yes, Caleb. Not that I know, Caleb. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I have the answer for that question, Caleb. We don't have per se the word. It might be there, but I don't think it is. But we have the principle.
So we have the example.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay, very good. Yes. Yes, sister. Correct. Yes. And we're going to go there to Acts chapter 10 in a few moments, and Acts chapter 15, looking at that. But let me put it this way, and that's correct. Let's see. The fact that there is many different ways of thinking in the world, and let's apply it to the United States, it doesn't mean that God approves of every way of thinking. There is a different, there's multicultural place or country. Doesn't mean that everything is correct. Okay? And I'm going to mention a few verses just as we turn around to the next topic on that particular point. But pluralism is not relativism. Yes? Okay, I think that's a good question. I'm going to use an example in a few moments. I'm just want to wait and just see the prejudice against the truth. And then we'll go prejudice against people. And I have an example I want to use for some experiences. Yes. Okay, I asked a question. Thank you, Caleb. I'm gonna answer that question. Thank you. And then I think that's fair. The only reason I mention in this country is because that's where I'm standing right now, on this country. That's the only reason why I mention. I'm not picking on anything. When I go to Mexico, I don't mention the United States. I mention Mexico when I'm there because that's where I'm standing. So that's the only reason why I mention it. So I'm standing here. I mean, I cannot. You will be bored and probably go fall asleep if I talk about Mexico. I can talk about Mexico all day long, and because that's where I come from. And but that's why I'm here now. So I need to make it appealing to you. That's my job, okay? So that's why I mentioned I'm not picking anything. I'm always careful. I'm always respectful. I love where I am, and I respect the good things for where I am. I'm just trying to make something appealing and trying to make application from the Bible. That's all. Okay? So we see that there was a riot in Antioch of Pisidia because Paul came and preached the truth, and the Jews there were envious of the truth being preached, so they chased them, the apostles, out of the city, and then we see that they ended up later on in Acts 17 in Berea. And we see that Bereans have a different attitude towards the truth. They're not prejudiced. They have not made their mind about what God said, like the Jews, some of the Jews did in the city of Antioch of Pisidia. That's a different attitude. So we see a prejudiced attitude, and we see an unprejudiced attitude in two different groups of Jews here in the book of Acts, chapter 13 and chapter 17. Now, how can we apply this to today's world when we talk about prejudice against the truth? So in the denomination world, we're going to hear, for example, statements like people say, well, I know that Mark 16:16 and Acts 2:38 and 1 Peter 3:21 say that baptism is for the remission of sins, but even though I know that it says that, I still believe that you can be saved without baptism. That's being prejudiced against the truth. You know the facts, but then you don't want to accept them. That's prejudice against the truth. Yes. Correct. Yeah, that should be our attitude. That's an attitude without prejudging. There's an attitude without wanting to put our opinion or make the Bible fit what we want to. And that's what happens sometimes. There's people today that wander around from congregation to congregation, finding a place that will say, yes, we believe what you believe. I'll say, okay, then I will worship here. Instead of finding a place where they say, well, we believe the truth, and you have to change your actions, your way of thinking, to be conformed to the truth. And then some people say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to find somewhere where they believe what I believe. So they move around. And that's prejudging. That's having that attitude of not wanting to open the scripture and study. So there's many different examples we can use. For instance, people say, I know that Ephesians 5:19 and Revelation 22 and some other passages teach about singing. But still, I believe that instrumental music, there's nothing wrong about it. And that's another, again, an attitude of prejudging in that sense. Now, within the church, that can also happen with us. We can say, yes, I understand that the law of Moses has been nailed to the cross. I understand that they used to give the 10%. But still, I'm fine if I give way less than the way they did. See what I'm saying? We are neglecting the fact that the new covenant is better than the old covenant. And then we are, because we don't want to change, we want to make it conform to the way we think. So there's more examples we can use concerning prejudging. But don't forget that an honest man alters his opinion to fit the truth. That's what an honest man does. Whereas a man who prejudges, he alters the truth to fit his opinion. That's what being prejudiced against the truth really means. Okay, so what should we do to overcome prejudice against the truth? Okay, there's a few things we can do, but we need to realize, like you mentioned, John 8:32, the truth will make us free. We need to love the truth. Okay, John 8:32. The truth also purifies. You remember 1 Peter 1:22-23? You have purified your souls in obedience to the truth. Verse 22 says, having been born again through the word of God. So we see that the truth purifies. The truth makes us free. So we look at the qualities of truth, and that's going to help us be honest about the truth and accept what the Bible says. The truth also sanctifies us. Remember John 17:17, sanctify them in your word because your word is truth. So we need to look at these qualities of truth. And also, there's different other passages that we can look at. But Ephesians 1:13 is another one. When we obey the truth, that's faith on us. In him you have trusted after you heard the word of truth. So there's a lot of benefits when we are honest to what the truth says. Instead of being prejudiced against the truth, our attitude should be one that hears the truth. We're willing to hear the truth. We're willing to hear the facts. We're willing not only to hear the truth, but also to believe the truth as well. Like we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, 12 and 13. Also, we need to not only hear the truth, not only believe the truth, but also obey the truth. Like we just read, or I just mentioned in 1 Peter 1:22, obeying so you can purify your heart. Also, not only that, but also we must love the truth as well. And teach the truth, live the truth, and rightly divide the word of truth. That should be our attitude towards the truth. We should have an open heart when it comes to the truth. But now, what about prejudice against people? And I think, I mentioned in the beginning, prejudice is not the same as racism, of course. Two different words. But still we see some attitudes from certain groups to other groups, even in the Bible. You know, there's a lot of division among Jews and Gentiles in the Bible. And the words there are strong. In fact, let me see if I can find one there in Acts chapter, let's go to Acts chapter 15. And look at these phrases here. Acts chapter 15, verses 28 through 29. Let's see. Excuse me, it's Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, notice in verse 28 and 29, and this is the story of Peter and Cornelius. And then say, then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or to go to one another, to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So we know the context. What happens? In the Old Testament, God forbid them, and God told Abraham, your nation is going to possess this land, but not yet, because the iniquity of the Amorites has not yet been fulfilled. God was being patient towards the people of those nations. But then when they came to conquer it, they were forbidden to make any association with them. They were forbidden to intermarry with them. They were forbidden to make friends with them. They were told to destroy them. Now, is God being unfair here? I don't think so, because God has given them enough time to repent. That's why he told Abraham, the iniquity has not been yet fulfilled. They still have time. But when that iniquity is fulfilled and there's no turning back and there's no repentance, you're going to go and conquer them. Why? Because I hate people? No. Because I hate what they practice. Sorcery, idolatry, immorality, that's what I don't like about them, and I give them enough time, so you go ahead and conquer them and destroy them. That's why King Saul was casted away from being a king, because he disobeyed God in that regard. He didn't utterly destroy the Amalekites. Sinful people. So, when we come to the New Testament, we see that that attitude, still that animosity against Gentiles has been carried away even into Christianity. And that's when Peter comes into the picture, and he sees this vision, and then he says, well, I have never eaten nothing impure. And the God said, wait a minute. What I've created, what I have sanctified, do not call it impure. Gentiles are not impure because they're Gentiles. They were condemned because of the sin they practiced, but if there's a Gentile like Cornelius who wants to do my will, he's not impure, and you don't have any right or any right to bring back those commandments from the past and apply it to Cornelius because he's a righteous Gentile. You don't have the permission to have a wrong attitude against him. So that happens here. So Peter confesses. He said, I know that we have a wrong feeling against this is how unlawful it is. And then maybe the King James says abomination. It is an abomination for a Jew. And same thing happened with Samaritans. Samaritans, half Jews, original Jews, despise Samaritans. That's not only a feeling, that's an action. You can call it call it whatever you want to call it, racism or call it prejudice, but it's an action. They're taking action against this other group of people. And then God said, wait a minute, in the Christian dispensation, it's not going to be so. I allowed it and I commanded it back in the conquest time of Moses and Joshua, but not in the Christian dispensation because it doesn't apply the same way. So we see, like Brother Dennis mentioned, Nathaniel had a wrong attitude against those from Nazareth, against from the Galilee. But note in Acts 15, and something important, the fact that they were Romans, they were Gentiles, Romans are Gentiles, there were other nations on the time Jesus came on earth and the time the gospel was preached, it doesn't mean that because that everybody is right. It doesn't mean that. Notice what it means. In Acts 15, there was a discussion concerning circumcision because some people wanted to bind the law of Moses on those Gentiles who came to the church. And they had a big discussion, Paul and Barnabas, concerning this topic. And they went to Jerusalem, had a meeting with the elders there, the apostles. And then first Peter stands up and Peter makes a statement. And he says, he has made no distinction between us and them. There's no distinction. Why is he saying this? Because they're making a distinction, saying we're more special than the Gentiles. That's why Peter is saying that. And he made, in verse 9, Acts 15:9, he made no distinction. So then James stands up and he says, okay, let's analyze this and let's see what we can bring, which is good from the law of Moses that can apply for us in a way that we make no distinction between them and us or force them to keep the law of Moses. And then let me just read in verse 13. And after they had become silent, James answered saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles to take out them people for his name and with the word of the prophets agreed just as it is written. And then he quotes there. But then let me just go to the conclusion. He says, verse 18, known to God for eternity are all of his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted to idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. So they Gentiles are accepted, but they need to keep away from these things that they practice from their culture. Okay, so let me jump to another place. Okay, I'll tell you a story. I'm going to tell you that story, and then you tell me what you think. When I was in the school of preaching, there was one time where, and this is a true story. This happened to us. So you be the judge to see what happened. We go to classes in the morning, and then I come for lunch. Around noon, right at noon. And then I'm sitting there with my wife and we're eating lunch, having a quick lunch. We have an hour and my wife says, you know, while you were gone, I went out of the house to the dumpster to throw the trash and I saw a snake. And in those places, there's not, the rattlesnakes are not as common as they call them the cottonmouth. And they have another fancy name, which I don't remember, water moccasins or something like that. So after lunch, I went back to the school, and we have a brief devotional for about 5 minutes. And some people make announcements. So I raise my hand, say, hey, anybody has an announcement, I raise my hand. And I say, my wife spotted a snake. That dumpster is right next to the apartments. People go over there in the morning and drop their children there and things like that. So I announce there's a... My wife spotted a snake. Okay, very good. Go into class, finish the rest of the day, go back home, and then later, maybe 5 p.m., way later than the day, I see some of the students and an instructor there by the dumpster. And I say, oh, they might be looking for the snake. And I say, what are you working on? And then the instructor said, we're looking for a snake. Because Sister so-and-so told us that she spotted a snake. And I say, Didn't I just announce that a few hours ago on the devotional? That's what I thought. It turns out that Sister So-and-so is white. She mentioned there was a snake. They took action on it. And you may think, Rafael, you may be paranoid, and I kept quiet for years. As happened years before. Didn't mention anything. I said that maybe I've been too overstated. But time has proven me that I don't think I'm paranoid. I think there's something called white privilege, and sometimes there's prejudice against minority groups. And it comes from me. I mean, you judge. And but there's stories like that. They're very common. Okay? Yes. I know. And that's a disclaimer maybe I needed to make. This is a topic that needs to be, because... Yes. Okay, let me mention, thank you, Caleb. I'm thank you for mentioning that. And I do agree, and I do accept, and I recognize what you said, that I feel welcome here. Okay? I don't have a doubt of that. But the point I want to make is, we're talking about prejudice and some attitudes. Okay? I never said, as I told the story, I was careful the way I said it, that I was intentional. I don't think it was intentional. Well, I think it was unintentional. Because some of the attitudes, and I'm just taking this as an example, you know, there used to be open racism a while ago. Okay, that's past. But that has been transformed and has become something that is healing. It's not openly, but sometimes it's micro. It's something that happens unintentional in a day-to-day basis. Okay? Randy, were you going to mention something? But yes. Correct. And I don't want this to go on biblical, this topic, and I know we're among Christians. The fact is, I'm going to be honest, that when it comes to prejudice, if I was going to say there's no prejudice even inside the church, I think I would be lying. Because there is. There's Christians, and I've heard Christians who have made comments that I didn't like. And I would say, if I was going to say that's the exception, that's correct. That's more accurate. They're the exception, not the general. And so that's important to mention, okay? Yes. Correct. Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you. And if we weren't needed to talk about these topics, if that didn't happen among the church, if the prejudice didn't happen in the church, well, then let's go then. Don't teach about it. Let's not spend time on this, okay? So let me just, I want to finish before my rant comes out. I have 1 Corinthians 9. I'm going to read it before anything else happens, because I want to give preeminence to the Word of God and don't make it this more like a general thing, because I don't have a good feeling when that happens. But let's go to Acts 9, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 through 23. And notice, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win the more. He's an attitude of a Jewish man, and he wants to become a servant. Okay? He wants to yield to other people. There's some places in which we can compromise. Like, for instance, if he's a Jew, and Jews are used to having a blue building, and he said, no, I want a blue building because I'm a Jew. Well, he can compromise. If Gentiles like green buildings, that's fine. I'm going to compromise on that topic. Doesn't matter, because I want to win them. Verse 20, and to the Jews I became as a Jew that I may win the Jews, and to those that are under the law, as under the law, that I may win those who are under the law. Remember how he circumcised Timothy? So that he can win those Jews who were under the law? But then when Titus came along, he said, well, I'm not going to circumcise him because it doesn't fit the purpose. So we see he became as under the law, that I may win those that are under the law. Verse 21, to those who are without the law, and this is talking about those Gentiles who were not under the law of Moses, as one without law, not being without law myself towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I may win those that are without law. To the weak, I became as weak that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I may by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake that I may be partaker of it with you. Now what culture did Jesus have in heaven? It's his deity. It's their way. They are the ones who reign. But then Jesus decided to leave his culture and became like a man. Now he sweats. Now he gets tired. Now he gets hungry. Now so on and so forth that we face as humans. He didn't need to do that, but he is making himself a servant and not prejudging or having a negative attitude towards men because we're men, but he became like one of us. So this is an attitude we also must take. And let me tell you something. Sometimes, I'm glad you mentioned about the news. I don't usually watch the news. I like to watch YouTube channels. That's all I watch, and soccer games, usually what I watch. And the YouTube channels that I watch are travel and gadgets, electronics. I don't like politics and things like that. Well, I do like politics, Mexican politics. I can get them told, but not here. This is another matter. So my politics are Mexican politics, not U.S. politics. Okay? I'm not allowed to mingle in that because I'm not a citizen. Okay? But who tells what's right? The majority tells what's right. And the majority in the United States, it happens to be European descent, white. So when a lady comes in the TV, and I read because I read the articles, and she says, buenos dias, she looks bad because she's not doing what the majorities are doing. And then when a person says, well, I'm going to pronounce words the way they're meant to be pronounced. Raphael is really not Raphael. I'm going to be honest. I just because I'm a Christian, I'm allowed to call Raphael. My name is Raphael. Okay? That's what my name is, Raphael. But because I'm following the attitude here of Paul, you can call me Raphael, you can call me Rafi, you can call me anything you would like. That's fine. But my name is Raphael. Okay? And the majority are not used to saying Raphael, they're used to saying Raphael. So that's fine. I'm gonna be servant so I can win more people. Okay? My children's name is Josias. Okay? And the other one is Nathan. Okay? Nor Nathan or Josias. But that's fine. Okay? But, we become servants to other people. Okay? Yes, sister, please. Correct. That's true. Yes, ma'am. But there's a difference. There's a difference. The only ones who have the power to enforce what the majority thinks is the majority. Minorities don't have that power. We have to either obey or be different. That's the truth. Follow the mainstream culture or just look different. Correct. 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 I'm going to finish because the time, the bell just rang. I'm going to give you just two pieces of last remarks here. Sometimes someone said, I'm talking about prejudice, and someone said, we're going to make an announcement and said, in this church, color doesn't matter. And at face value, if we look at it, it means it's good. Doesn't matter. Color doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you come from. But I want to tell you something that I think is more accurate. If we want people to feel welcome, we must change that announcement and say, in this congregation, your color matters. If you're white, if you're dark, if you're Hispanic, we care about what you believe. We care about your language. Speak another language, we care about it. You have other customs, you eat other food, we care about it. If we say color doesn't matter, we're saying, I don't care about your food, I don't care about your language, you have to conform to us. That's the message we're giving. So let's think about it. And to combat prejudice, Remember, Christ died for all men. 1 Timothy 2:6. Remember that Christianity is a worldwide scope. It's for every nation. So those who please God are those who follow His commandments. Matthew 28:18 through 20, the Great Commission. And then in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, Galatians 3:28. And God is not a respecter of persons. A beautiful teaching on Acts chapter 10 on Jesus, on Peter and Cornelius. It's beautiful how he learns that there is no respecters, there's no respecter of persons, in God. I thank you for your time and I thank you for your comments. I hope it was more lean to the biblical aspect. There's some illustration that need to be made or mentioned to get the conversation going, but I hope everything was done respectfully and more importantly biblically. And thank you so much for your time, your comments. Yes.